Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 to 10. Good news. Number one, the Lord reigns. Number two, the Lord redeems. Number three, the Lord returns. Homaz Rassam was an Assyriologist of the 19th century. He actually married an English lady by the name of Anne Price. He actually lived for a while in Brighton. He died and was buried, and you can visit his grave today in Hove. He actually took on the British Museum in a case whereby he and the discoveries that he had made had tried to be pinched by others. This man, in March in 1878, in Babylon, at the Askalia Temple, made one of the most significant discoveries in archaeological history. There, rummaging amongst all those ruins, he found a small cylinder called the Cylinder of Cyrus, or the Cyrus Cylinder. You can go and see it today. It's in room 51 at the British Museum. Well worth a trip. Get on the train, go down to London, walk for about half a mile, go and see it for yourself. It is staggering. And what's more, on this code, this cylinder, was found the first human rights document. Amazing. But not only so, it told the story of a man of history and a man of destiny and a man mentioned 22 times in the Old Testament. What's more, a Gentile, an Iranian, who in Hebrew history and in Hebrew literature is called the Anointed of the Lord. Staggering. His name? Cyrus the Great. This was his description. King of kings. King of Persia. King of Anshan. King of Media. King of Babylon. King of Summer. King of Akkad. King of the four corners of the world, Cyrus the Great. The remarkable thing about the prophet Isaiah is that 150 years before Cyrus is even born, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah names this man. Isaiah 45, verse 1. Anointed of the Lord. He's going to be anointed and appointed of God to bring deliverance to Jewish men and women in captivity. And can I remind you, because this is vitally important, not only was Isaiah a poet, a wordsmith, a man with literary genius, whose words we can read today and think, isn't that beautifully said? Not only was he an authoritative statesman, a leader of the nation who kings consulted. But I remind you that he is the anointed, appointed prophet of the Most High God. And the Holy Spirit saturates his mind, loosens his tongue, and opens his eyes to see past the day in which he lives, to a day which was to come, to a time yet to be, to a time which we look back on and say, these were days of miracle and wonder when Jesus of Nazareth walked this planet. But more than that, to days beyond our day. And here, remember that Isaiah has been dealing with kings, despots, invaders, kings like Sennacherib, king of Assyria, kings of the Assyrian Empire. Not only so, kings like Nebuchadnezzar. He foresees Nebuchadnezzar coming with his armies, trampling down Jerusalem, taking off into captivity Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You know that story? And sitting down by the rivers of Babylon where they wept as they remembered Zion. And he sees yet to come Cyrus the Great, who will come, invade Babylon, overthrow Belshazzar. And not only so, but he will set the captives free, and 40,000 people under the leadership of Ezra and Zerubbabel will return to Jerusalem. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. That was last week's message. Listen up. This week's message, wake up. Awake. Awake. Something wonderful is about to happen. Picture in your mind's eye. Don't doze off to sleep. Concentrate. Cyrus the Great, liberating God's people, sending them back to Jerusalem and sending the messengers out. Let's read, shall we? Here's good news. Number one, the Lord reigns. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Spread the good news. God is still on the throne. The Lord reigns. The Lord is in charge. Remember what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar, that king of the golden kingdom who'd been humbled. Do you remember what he said about God? Listen to this. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. No one can stay his hand or say, what are you doing? What are you up to? This was the king of the golden kingdom. He's been conquered. Cyrus the Great has come, King of Kings, Lord of the four corners of the earth. He's liberating the people. He's sending them back home. And the message is going with the messenger, with winged feet, with beautiful feet. Tell people there's good news, there's happiness, there's peace, there's blessing, because the Lord reigns. Not Sennacherib, not the Assyrian warlords, not Nebuchadnezzar, not Belshazzar, not even Cyrus the Great. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Send messengers. Can you picture a messenger? Can you picture the scene? Those of you who've been to Jerusalem will know that what I'm telling you is the truth. Mount Zion, Jerusalem, is 2,500 feet above sea level. That is, above the Mediterranean sea level. Actually, it's 3,800 feet above the Dead Sea. It's on a mountain. Not only so, it is surrounded by mountains. And you can see that. There's Mount Hermon. There's Mount Carmel. There's Mount Gilboa to the north. There's Mount Nebo to the east. There's Mount Hebron to the west. There's Mount Catherine. Can I just tell you this as a little aside? You'll never believe this. When we were looking to Mount Hebron, we saw a tiny little cloud forming above it. It was phenomenal. And above Mount Carmel, phenomenal. Oh, unbelievable, really. What happened that day, wasn't it? Staggering. That's an aside. Look what he says. Here are beautiful feet upon the mountains, bringing good news, publishing peace, news of happiness, publicizing salvation, saying your God reigns. I love this poem. When statesmen have had their last say, and despots have made their last threat, when prophets are dumb with dismay, and forces of conflict are set, when warlords misleading and treacherous bring chaos where order prevails, when freedoms long cherished are vanquished, and leaders long trusted have failed, when God and his word are derided, and men say it's useless to pray, remember that God is still sovereign, and he has the last word to say. For our God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials distress us and burdens oppress us, he never will leave us alone. For our God is still on the throne, and he will take care of his own. His promise is true. He will not forsake you, for God is still on the throne. That's good news. I want to remind you that kings, emperors, despots, dictators, warlords, presidents, ayatollahs, ISIS leaders, leaders of great unions, leaders of the world are in the hand of the Lord. And only God holds the future. I love that hymn. I do not know what lies ahead. The way I cannot see, but one stands near to be my guide, he'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future. God holds the key of all unknown. Aren't you glad? If other hands should hold that key, or if he trusted it to me, I'd be sad. God holds the future. He is there already. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And the Lord reigns. Number two. The Lord redeems. He redeems. He brings back. He buys back a people sold into captivity. He brings them back with redeeming love. Listen to what the Bible says. The voice of your watchmen lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Now, if you've got your Bible open, would you look at the first few verses of Isaiah 52? Listen to the description of the people who were in the waste, fallen, broken down, ruined city of Jerusalem. Remember, according to the book of Lamentations, it is in absolute chaos. The walls are fallen down, coyotes and dogs and wild dogs. Weeds are growing everywhere. The people have been pillaged. The women have been raped. The children have been taken off into captivity. Listen, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. There shall no more come into you the uncircumcised or the unclean. Unclean. That's how they have been described. Defiled. Verse 2. Shake off yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck. Here's how they're described. Enslaved. Verse 3. For thus says the Lord, you were sold. Here's how they're described. They've been sold. Verse 4. For thus says the Lord, God. My people went down at the first unto Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Here's how they describe oppressed. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing. Here's how they're described. Worthless. Worthless. Here's how they describe. End of verse 5. And continually all the day my name is despised. Here's how the people of God have been described. Unclean, defiled, enslaved, sold, oppressed, worthless. And despised. But now look. Here's the good news. The Lord has comforted Jerusalem. The Lord has redeemed his people. He's the Redeemer. He's the one who comes for his people. He's the one who brings his people back safely. Ah, you're not anymore an unclean, despised, defiled, enslaved, oppressed people. Oh no, you're the apple of God's eye. You're the treasure of his heart. You're the object of his love. You're the subject of his grace for all eternity. Put on your garments and rejoice. This is good news. Can you picture a scene here? Imagine in the heat of the Middle East. Imagine a messenger coming and having to climb up and down hills. Can you imagine the dust and the stench? Can you imagine the segs and the sores that would be upon those feet? Not very beautiful would those feet be, would they? Would they? Imagine traipsing up and down these mountains, but now it's as if they're flying. It's as if these feet are being taken up. We've got such good news to bring you. The Lord has redeemed his people. Now I'm told that Emma Watson, do you know who Emma Watson is? She's in Harry Potter. I've been told she's supposed to have the most beautiful feet in the world. Who says? I was invited. Can I tell you, this was great. I was invited across the road to Little Miracles. But all the little tiny tots are there. And I took my guitar to sing and play with them. These kids are fab. Do you know what they did? They rolled out a piece of paper. Not while I was there, but I've been told by the person who leads it that this is the case. They rolled out a piece of paper. They put paint on the bottom of the kids' feet. And they walked upon it like this. And they said, this is so-and-so's feet, and this is so-and-so's feet, and this is so-and-so's feet. They looked beautiful. But there is something far more beautiful, far more wondrous. These feet are flying, as it were, with good news of a Redeemer. And Isaiah not only just sees his day and beyond his day and to the liberation of God's people, he sees beyond that again. Because there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, the precious Lamb of God, Messiah, the Holy One. He's going to be speaking about him, the Redeemer who comes and bleeds and dies upon the cross to make it possible for you and I to be brought back and brought back to God, to make it possible that we can be his people, the apple of his eye, the treasure of his heart, the object of his love, the subject of his grace, all our sins forgiven, buried in the deepest sea, hidden behind his back, a new name, a new nature, and a new record in heaven. Good news. The Lord redeemed. Number 3, good news. The Lord returns. He brings his people home. He will make bare his arm in power. Listen to this. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Can you picture the scene? his waste places of Jerusalem. But there's some lookouts, and they're standing, the watchmen, they're looking out there. Hey, the messenger is coming. They're bringing good news. It's news of happiness. They break forth into singing, united singing. This is great news. The Lord is returning to Zion. He's going to bring his people with them. 40,000 people are going to come back to Jerusalem. What's more, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the ruler of the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. Look, look, he's rolling up his sleeves. He's making bare his holy arm. And no one and nothing can stop him. He's redeeming his people. He's restoring his people. He's bringing his people home. Ah, but listen, we know for sure that Isaiah doesn't just see that day. He sees even beyond that day. After all, in Isaiah 61, this will be written, and it will be read by Jesus in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of salvation of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to appoint unto them who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And remember, years later, standing there, opening up the scroll of Isaiah, Jesus reads a portion of that. Today, this prophecy has been fulfilled before you. So he sees the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who's coming, who's returning to redeem his people. But beyond that, he sees again to a day when the Lord returns at the end of the age, and the whole earth will see the salvation of our God. Just in case you didn't know this, there are 1,845 references in the Old Testament concerning the second, or the return of our Lord the second time to this planet. Not his first advent, his second advent. In the 260 chapters in the entire New Testament, there are 318 references to the second advent, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to this planet. That's one out of every 30 verses. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to the Lord returning. What's more, the New Testament makes plain what the Old Testament was unfolding. That when Christ returns to this planet, he will return, one, personally, two, literally, three, visibly, four, powerfully, five, unexpectedly, six, quickly, and seven, gloriously. What did Paul write? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And do you think that Isaiah didn't see that? Oh, he saw it way before that event. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and listen. Here's what it says. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like an ox, the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The whole earth shall see the salvation of our God. That's good news. The Lord reigns. He is in control. The Lord redeems. He has bought us. He has brought us. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. We are now his people, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. The Lord returns. He will bring his people home. Not one of his people will be lost. We shall arrive safely in heaven. He has made bare his holy arm, and once again every eye will see him, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let that encourage your heart. Let's stand and sing.